gift. You may have noticed that Sister Wright is not with me today. Sister Wright's sister, Elaine Arthur, is the minister of music at Community Praise Center Church. I hired her for that before I left. And today she's being ordained as a local elder in the church. So we both could not go. I had my duties here. So Sister Wright is there at Community Praise Center Church, even now, supporting her sister as she's ordained into the eldership of that wonderful church. So that's why she's not here, and I'll join her later this afternoon for the fellowship of the family. But certainly miss having my girlfriend here. See, when I preach, I always know there is at least one person praying. That's her. And I rely on those prayers. It's good to be back with you after getting away for a spell. And we have a busy fall ahead of us with the International Day, some minor redecoration of our facility, the homecoming event, and so forth. We have, and then we'll be having our fall revival conducted by Pastor Cheatham. So we have some busy things ahead of us. I will deviate today from the Holy Spirit emphasis that we might honor those who are 50 plus. Let us begin by asking a simple question. Those who are willing to confess, if you are 50 or above, please stand. Now, don't make me call you out now. Don't make me call you out. Let's give them a hand. What do you say? You may be seated. Now, notice the bulk of this congregation. Did you see that? If I had done this at my previous church, Community Praise Center, barely one-fourth would have stood. Am I right about it, Smith? In fact, in that congregation, only had 16 members above 60 who attended the church. When I left there at age 72, I was the third oldest man in the church. My point is, this is a church built on experience. Which means God expects a lot more of us. I didn't finish the sentence. God expects more of us than he is getting. To whom much is given, finish it with me. Much is required. So age 50 is not just a badge to be recognized. It is an obligation to be fulfilled. God gives you life for half a century? People are dying every day in the crib and as a child and as teens and as young adults every day, and God has allowed you to live a half a century? My sermon today, ready for the mountain. Let's pray. Our Father, grant us now your presence and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. We recognize today those who have traveled for a while. People who are 50 and older. I remember Trevor O'Neill when my dad turned 50. And I was in my early 20s. I remember saying to my older brother, "Man, Dad, it's 50. That brother's old," I said. When I turned 50, I said, no, I ain't going there. I ain't old. In fact, I probably didn't get comfortable using the word old in connection to my name till I turned 70. There are expectations that come. You've lived half a century. Those 50 and above were people who, particularly those who just turned 50, were born sometime in the mid-60s and before. It's a generation of people that actually remember black and white TV and gasoline that cost less than $1 a gallon. Driving home from South Carolina in Myrtle Beach, I saw a station. Now, my tank was 3/4 full, but I saw a station with gas that cost $1.90. I slammed on the brakes. My wife said, "What?" Because when I'm traveling, I don't stop. I said, "I just have to experience putting in my tank gas that costs less than $2. I stopped and bought gas. Those who are 50 and older remember the world before computers and internet and smartphones. And a world when there was only ABC, CBS, and NBC. Anybody remember that? Now the young folk are saying, "What?" No one had yet run 100 meters under 10 seconds. And Jesse Owens' record of 9.2 and 100 yards, which is 10 yards less than 100 meters, still stood. The Black Power movement was the social revolution of the 60s. And before that decade would end, we would see the assassination of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy. I remember exactly where I was when Dr. King was assassinated. I got married in August of 1966. August 21, it'll be 51 years ago. And I remember going into the ministry, Cheatham, making $48 a week with a master's degree. When I married Carol, they gave me a raise, $52 a week. Thought I'd died and gone to heaven. The president of the United States when I got married was Lyndon Baines Johnson. And he had come to the office in the fall of 1963 because of the assassination of the young and dynamic JFK. I was on my way in the 60s. 1965 was my first church. Life was beginning. My domestic life was set. But I had no idea. Listen to me. I had no idea of the mountains ahead. And life, Pastor Harcourt King, life, listen to me, life is a constant assailing of new mountains. And unlike the horizon on a highway, in life, mountains just suddenly appear. You looked ahead, the horizon was flat and smooth, and suddenly, out of nowhere, like a giant monster, a mountain appears. And the question for today is, are you ready for the mountain? In the passage for today is a time when the generation of the Israelites who were born during the 40 years of the wilderness wandering, most of whom were under 20 years of age when the Israelites left Egypt. The time is an era of conquering the promised land, which they had reached about 5 years before. And these are the events that surround Joshua 14. Only two people. Have lived from the original Jews that left Egypt some 45 years before. We know them both, Joshua and Caleb, both hardened, faithful, and successful warriors. The context of our passage actually begins in Joshua 13:1. The Bible says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years. There remaineth," watch it now, watch the text, "there remaineth very much land to be possessed." See, the message right early in this sermon is simply this. I don't care how old you are, if you're still alive, there's still some land that needs to be possessed. If you're the oldest person in the room right now, you ain't finished yet. As long as there is life, there is opportunity. But more than that, as long as there is life, there is obligation. You got to figure if God trusts you with 80 or 90 years, that's not just because he likes you. It is because he feels you need those 80 or 90 years to get it done. My father will turn 99 September 17th of next month. And he always says to me, "Son, I haven't yet been what God wants me to be." And then he said to me yesterday when I talked to him, "God has kept me here so I can finish the task." There is no such thing as reaching 50 or 60 or 75 and getting comfortable. In fact, It is my conviction that the more years God gives, the more things God requires. Joshua, you're old and stricken in years, but there is more land that must be conquered. Then we have this description of Caleb in his own words. "I am this day 85 years old." And then listen to the brother talk. "And yet, I am as strong this day." Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. "As I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and come in." Let me put it to you where you can grab it. Caleb said, "I'm 85. But I'm not spending time complaining about my back, my feet. Come on, y'all. I just figure if God kept me here with the bad back and bad feet, it's because he still got something for me to do." There's nothing, and I'm going to be very frank about it, there's nothing more wearisome to me than an older person who spends time with a litany of aches and pains. See, you didn't say amen. And I don't care. Take your aches and pains to God. But to people, proclaim the blessings of God. I'm still here. I still got faith. I still got hope. I still got desire. Announce to the world the blessings of God, not the aches of your body. I'm 85, the old guy said, but my strength is still in me. What a testimony. So these two men, Joshua and Caleb, have seen it all. They remember the plagues in Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, the defeat of the Amorites in the wilderness, the water flowing out of a rock, the manna from heaven, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They have seen some mountains, and every mountain in your life plus 50 that you have climbed was designed to prepare you for the next mountain you must climb. They remember wearing the same wardrobe for 40 years. The Bible says that their robes did not become threadbare and their shoes, come on somebody, did not wear out. You ought to be able, if you've been around 50 years, you ought to be able to tell some story about the goodness of God, huh? About rent paid when there was no money, about clothes bought when you had no clothes, about food that appeared. You ought to have some. Why you been here 50 years? You ain't got no story to tell about the goodness of God. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And now old and accomplished. And you'd think God would be saying to Joshua and Caleb, you've done a good job. You're both in your 80s now. Take your rest. The word from the Lord is, there's some more land, come on somebody, to be conquered. There's something else left to do. What a testimony. What is the issue here today? As believers, we're all in a journey, both literal and spiritual. Listen to me. And the literal journey is from birth to death. The problem is, you never know how long that journey is going to be. For my deceased son, it was 26 years. For my dad, it's soon to be 99. You follow me? Sitting here right now today, you have no idea. Even if you're sitting here with a diagnosis from the doctor that you have 6 months to live, doctors guess, God knows. You have no idea how long you have. And so the important thing is taking the mountains as they come. Hey, watch the next sentence. And climbing each mountain with the zeal as if it's the last mountain. Don't hold back. Don't save something for later because all you got is now. So the key to success is to remain focused because there's always a mountain ahead. Here's how the book of Hebrews puts it. Let's go there. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 10. You see it on the screen. Read with me by faith. Come on, everybody. Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he could receive. I need more people reading. Which he would receive as an inheritance. Come on, everybody. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. I just told you that. You don't know. I just told you that. But read on. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Reading on. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He knew where he was going, he just didn't know how long it would take to get there. We're on that same journey. All of us are headed toward that city whose builder and maker is God. But the problem is in between now and then are more mountains. More mountains. December 2007, for me, it was the mountain of prostate cancer. Prostate cancer. For many folk, a death throw. God saw me through with not one slight ill effect. None. Nada. None. No. None. Nada. None. But it was a mountain. And I just trusted God. See, here's what you got to figure. If the Lord puts the mountain there, he has already supplied the strength to climb it. Otherwise, the mountain wouldn't be there. But I got to go further and tell you, when he puts the mountain there, it's your size. Everybody should have said amen. And so we have that city we're looking for, whose builder and maker is God. And so the key to success is staying focused. And so we say right there in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter this time, Hebrews the 10th chapter, let's go there. For you had compassion on me. Keep reading. Therefore, come on, y'all, read this thing. Therefore, do not do what? That's a plus 50 text. Now, you under 50 folk, we'll let you read it with us, but that's our text. If I'm 50 and above, that's my text. Don't do what? Go back to it. Therefore, do not do what? The Bible is saying, believe God. I don't care what it is, believe God. I get prostate cancer in 2007, 2008. My wife gets colon cancer. She has no ill effects either. What I'm saying to you, folks, is that whatever mountain appears, remember I just told you, it's God has given you the strength to climb it. It's your size. So buckle up and climb. Don't moan and cry and wring your... Climb! And that's been my approach to life my whole life. People tease me all the time, Pastor, you got more energy than somebody that's 24. My energy comes from the fact that I just know I serve a God who's able. Born with bad lungs. Couldn't even get food in my stomach for the first 6 months of my life. Lived on maple syrup. Started coughing at age 9 and coughed almost consistently till age 11. Then the Lord called you to the ministry. Then you find out you got bad. Don't get me started, folks. I know in whom I have believed. And I know he's able. He's able. So no long sob stories. If you've reached the mountain called 50, it's because God believes that you've got the ability to climb and get somewhere. So just buckle up and start climbing. Let's finish that text, Hebrews 10. Let's finish that text. For you have need of what? Read that thing, y'all. You're too weak for me. Read it again. You have need of what? Yeah, hang in. Now, we can't go beyond endurance yet. We got to feast on endurance. That means you keep at it. Turn to somebody and say right now, I'm keeping at it. Yeah, yeah. And see, you under 50 folk, practice. See, practice endurance right now, Cecil. It's coming. 50's coming, brother. 50's coming. You and Tara are going to be 50 together. Practice endurance now. Practice not whining. Practice trusting God. Practice believing God, because you have to have endurance. You see, you're a mountain climber. When you were called into the faith of this church, you were called to be a mountain climber. So that after you have done the will of God, you may receive what? The promise. The promise. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is there any more? Any more? For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. And so you find this in the Bible. Genesis 12, 1 and 2, Abraham getting started. But there was a constant problem he had with these people who were the children of Abraham. And I'm just going to read one of the texts. So, fellas, take me to that first one, Exodus 14, 11 and 12. Ready? Exodus 14, 11 and 12. Now, here you go. Read, come on. Then they said to Moses, everybody, because there were no graves in Egypt, Have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? No. They barely started the journey. Their feet haven't dried from the Red Sea water. And they are complaining already. You ain't gone nowhere yet. You ain't climbed nothing. And this appears over and over again. Exodus 16, Exodus 17, Numbers 11. Always looking back. It's hard to drive looking in your rearview mirror. And so this pattern was there throughout their experience. They just wouldn't stop. Now let's go to Luke 9:62. Put that up there. Luke 9, look. Come on. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. That's a simple truth. The mountains are ahead. See, if you've already climbed it, why are you looking back at it? You're over that. That's a pretty strong statement. Folks who live looking back are not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I need to talk to the plus 50s right now. See, one of the problems about being in the church a long time, and I always get concerned when I'm talking to an older church member, and all they talk about is what used to be at Tacoma Park. Used to be. That bothers me. If your only joy is in what used to be, there's something wrong. That does not fit with Christian faith. And so one of my challenges today to the plus 50 crowd is, since you saw most of the folk who stood up in this church are plus 50. Well, how in the world are we going to inspire the young folk of the church? We always talk about what used to be at Tacoma Park. Number one, they never experienced used to be. Number two, they don't care nothing about used to be. And number three, they don't want to be used to be. There's a waste of conversation. And my sons just get on me. I'd be talking about, well, you know, back in my day. Dad, no, we're not back in my day stuff. They were complaining about going to school and so forth and being cold. I said, back in my day, we stood out and waited on the bus. My older son said, Dad, I don't want to stand out in the cold and wait on the school bus. I don't care how much you did that back in the day. We have to offer the young people in this church something about the future. What are we going to do next? Not what. What are we going to do next? Oh, yes, give them the basics of the truth. Teach them the thus saith the Lord, the foundation. Don't compromise on that. But in terms of how we do and what we did and how we got things done, folk, this is a smartphone age. They don't know what you're talking about. You're wasting your breath. I'll say amen for myself. Amen. Amen. So they kept clinging to Egypt. And the result was they did not finish. And so the Lord says to Joshua, there's more land to be accomplished. And then when you see the results of it, Judges, go to Judges. Judges 1. Let's just give them a taste of Judges 1:19, fellas. Judges 1:19. We can't read all those texts. So the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. And if you keep reading all through the book, Judges 1:19, 21, 27, 28, in every case, every tribe failed to finish. They failed to finish. Plus 50, we can't fail to finish. You got to figure, if you've been in the Adventist church this long, and some of us have been, I've been in all my life, 75 years. If you've been in the church that long, there ought to be something in your life that you have finished. You finished gossiping. You have finished spending God's time. Come on, somebody. You have finished breaking the Sabbath. There ought to be some list of something you don't do anymore. Otherwise, what you've been doing? Joshua, you're not finished. It's time for those of us who are plus 50 to finish something. Finish talking about your wife. Finish mistreating your... Finish something. Let there be something that you don't get on your knees and ask forgiveness for anymore. Something. Shorten the list. Somebody help this preacher today. Shorten the list. Ought to be able to sit in prayer meeting and say, hey, I don't do that anymore. Can I get a witness in God's house? Yeah. Something. You're not finished yet. They didn't finish. Look how Peter puts it. I'm almost done. I ain't going to beat you up for so long. I'm almost done. 2 Peter 2. I love this text. Now, this text is ugly. I wonder how it passed muster and got in the Bible. 2 Peter 2. Starting in verse 20. For if, here it is, come on, let's read it. Now you got to hold your stomach now while you read this, come on. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, read it, everybody, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. In other words, you came in the church, you gained some victories, now the last days, Jesus is almost ready to come and you're going back. You're going back to stuff, and the Lord says, if you go back to stuff, it's going to be worse than when you left the stuff. Let's read the next part. For it would have been better for them, come on, read, for it would have been better for them never to have joined the Adventist church, not to have known the way of righteousness, than having known to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But I wish he would shut up then, but he won't shut up. Read, but it has happened to them. Everybody, according to the proverb, it's rough now, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed. I can't finish it. I can't finish that text. See, the only direction for the plus 50 folk in the church is forward. You can't go back. You gave up the hog. You gave up the tobacco. You gave up the liquor. Come on, somebody. You gave that up. Don't go back there. He that shall come will come. He's not tarrying. Somebody needs to be ready. Somebody needs to be ready. So let's close it out. I love reading the Bible because, Marley, I always see something that I thought I knew, and the Bible tells me you didn't know nothing. Here it is. Numbers 13:33. This thing hit me. I had to get up in my study and just dance around for a while. Numbers 13:33. Now watch this. Numbers 13:33. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. Now this, Angela, this is 40 years before. Now our key text, Amanda, is when he's 85. This text is when he's 45. And he's one of the 12 spies sent to spy out the land. Are y'all listening to me? And so they go and they spy out the land. He's only 40, 45. And as they're spying out the land, they come upon this mountain where the Anakims live. They're direct descendants of the antediluvians. These are people 8 and 9 feet tall. And they possess the mountain. And so when the spies see those folk, Anwar, they say, we can't take this land. These people are too big. In fact, they said, we're like grasshoppers. Now, the text is very interesting. In our own eyes, as a man thinketh, so is he. Just stick that in for free. In our own eyes. Ain't in the notes. That just hit me. Holy Ghost. Hey, tell them. Tell them. And then the Bible says, and we were as grasshoppers in their eyes. But the point I'm making is, Jim Armstrong, this is 40 years before. And so they wind up going back, giving this negative report because they've been spooked out by these giants on the mountain. Now, let's jump 40 years later. Joshua, my key text. Now you see why I gave it to you. Joshua 14. And they're dividing up the land. Now note the wording. Joshua 14, verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. He's referring back 40 years before. Because 40 years before, they were supposed to conquer this mountain. Is anybody listening? And for 40 years, this thing has been a crawl in his stomach. 40 years, it has eaten at him like a roach, like a termite. We had the assignment to conquer the mountain, and we failed to do it. And as they conquer, and as they go, and as they wander for 40 years, that thing keeps bothering him. Because after that incident, in chapter 14 of Numbers, the Lord says, because you were faithless for the 40 days that these spies wandered and searched out, now 40 years, you'll wander the wilderness. And so Caleb feels punished by the lack of faith of the people. For 40 years, he's got to understand that they were right on the borders of the mountain, and they did not take it. And so now that they're in the land, somebody help me, y'all, and they get to dividing up the land, Caleb says, I got some unfinished business. Hey, give me this mountain. Which mountain? The mountain that I should have conquered 40 years before. And I still got strength. I still got faith. I still got hope. And I cannot go to sleep until I finish the assignment. Give me this mountain. And so the text says, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. He's going back 40 years. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be with able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him. There are some things in my life I have not yet conquered. There are some victories I have not yet won. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? And the Lord is saying to me and to you, the mountain is still there. I do not know what your mountain is, but it's still got to be conquered. And it's time for you, I don't care what it is, a tendency toward bad relationships outside your marriage. I don't care what it is, a tendency to still take God's tithe and spend it rather than put it in church. I don't know what it is. You still have some health habit you should have conquered some time ago. I don't care what it is, but you got to go back to that mountain where you failed. And you've got to climb it. Knowing that the God who was there when you failed is the same God who'll give you victory. Can I get a witness in this place? That God is saying to the Calebs here and the Calebettes, here's the mountain. Take it. Conquer it. Are you ready? I say, are you ready for the mountain? Because he's not going to move it. You're going to have to climb it. You're going to have to climb that mountain, whatever it is. And I declare by the grace of God and by his might and power, if God gives me breath today, I will tackle whatever remaining mountains are, even those I pass by and skirt around. I will go back under the grace of God. Every victory assigned shall be attained because the God I serve does not fail. If that is the desire and the posture of your heart today, won't you stand on your feet? Come on. Come on, y'all. Let's stand on your feet. Get on up, plus 50. Get on up. Get on up. I know your knees hurt when you stood up. Get on up. I love you so much, TPC. You're a good group of people. This is a mature church. An experienced church. But we have an assignment we have not yet fulfilled. We must pass on to the under 50 in this church the knowledge that every mountain can be conquered. The young adults of this church must be able to see a mature congregation that does not wring its hands, that does not complain, but that says, by the grace of God, we shall. By the grace of God, we shall. And they need to see that in us. So if there's a mountain you need to go back to, ask God to give you the courage. Oh, how Caleb must have felt, Frank, as he looked at the mountain he had seen 40 years before. He said to Joshua, by God's grace, we're going to take it now. We turned away from it 40 years ago, but we're going to take that mountain now. And I can see the old 85-year-old man straighten his back, grab his sword, and say to the young men behind him, let's go. We're going to take it. But they're giants. We ain't discussing their size. We serve the living God. Under the power of the Holy Spirit. Caleb took that mountain. You will too. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Standing here on your feet, if there's a mountain in your life you know you need to conquer, would you raise your hand with mine? Keep it up. Stretch it toward heaven. And then in your heart declare, Lord, give me this mountain. Your hand is down. Maybe you need special prayer. Maybe you need special prayer as you face the mountain. We'll pray for you now, Father. Be with them now. For there is a certain butterfly in the stomach when we approach some mountains. I'm reminded of the words of Paul, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Maybe somebody's ready to climb that mountain of faith that includes presenting yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been thinking about joining this church, taking Bible studies, preparing for baptism, and you want to respond to the voice of God today. And the mountain is simply